The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I am your grace. I am your mercy.
Get up from the ashes and move on into the future that God has. It may not be like we thought it was going to be, but at the end, it will be better than we ever imagined. Amen.
Hear how God restored Aaron and Amanda Crabb and is now using them to restore others next.
Hey, I think y'all mean it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I'm holding a great CD in my hand. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. Aaron and Amanda Crabb, part of the Crabb family that are just incredibly gifted, anointed singers. This is a couple pastoring a church in the Nashville, Tennessee area, but they've got a new CD, and the title is Restore, and they're actually going to sing that to us and tell us a little bit about it later. Would you welcome Aaron and Amanda Crabb to Life Today? We're glad to have y'all back.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Since you were last here, which was a few years ago, right?
Yes, sir.
And I think you had been at Cornerstone Church with John Hagee and Matt Hagee. So you had just left Cornerstone and you went to the Nashville area. Tell me where you are. What's the name of the church?
The church is called Restoring Hope Church. It's something that really was birthed 13 years ago in my spirit, in my prayer closet. But I was, you know, well, I'll just be transparent. Music was my thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I was comfortable there. But one thing I like to say is God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to be obedient.
So as you're singing, and you obviously had a gift, your family had it. It was just natural, supernatural. And so you're just riding along the wave of that gifting and the success and the blessings. But God put something in your heart to go shepherd some people?
Yes. I didn't know exactly location, to be honest, at that time, 13 years ago. I saw him, we only had Eli, which is my oldest son, and I actually saw him praying in the altars. As I was praying, I saw him praying for people in the altars of what?
You mean it's a vision or it was good?
A vision.
Vision, okay.
And I saw the church and me preaching. Of course, I tried to say, oh, I'm singing up there. That's, you know.
But you actually saw yourself preaching?
Preaching.
Well, can you preach?
He can.
I mean, we know you can sing. Can you preach?
He will tell you no. He is an incredible preacher and full of
a communicator, teacher? What is he? I'm an exhorter.
He's an exhorter. Yes, sir.
Find some comfort in that,
truth.
All right. So are you comfortable now doing it?
I am.
And it, where's the church located? What part of Nashville?
Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Where is it?
Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Well, that's Johnny Cash's home.
Yes.
Okay. Are you meeting in a church building, a warehouse that's been renovated, or y'all got a church building?
We have our own property. It's 1041 Center Point Road, and that's a miracle in itself. TBN, we started there at the facility in the auditorium.
I got you.
And our very first Sunday service, September 14th, 2014, we announced our property that had been empty for 3 years. It was a previous church, a church that had really fallen apart, and they tried to do a satellite church, and that wasn't working. And we made a crazy offer, a brand new church. You know, to go get a facility, you have to have 2 years of tithing record. We didn't have that. So we stepped out in faith. God told us to go, and we did. And they had turned down 12 offers. And what was interesting is when ours came across the desk, the
financial... Was it a bigger offer you made?
No. Okay. That's what I'm saying. It was a crazy offer. But the financial officer of that church wanted to schedule a meeting with us. And when we sat down at the table downtown Nashville, he said, I had to look in the eyes of the people who were getting this property. He said, because 12 offers had come across my desk, and I would hear the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for kingdom people who will listen to the Holy Spirit. No, no. And he said, when your contract came across the desk, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, that property has been reserved for such a time as this. Right. And Restoring Hope is the name of the property.
Restoring Hope.
We see people come in off the streets. They say, is this a rehab facility? And we say, yes, it is.
Yes.
You know, of course it is.
Sure.
We our community outreach base, we have a summer program that every single Tuesday we set up water slides. We feed our community, sometimes up to 400 and 500 kids, and then we send them home with groceries. We have a food pantry that God is, he's blowing our mind on that property.
Isn't that beautiful?
And he gets all the glory. That's what the beautiful thing is.
Yeah, you like this kind of story? We hear it because it sounds like a miracle. And so do you all still travel and sing? Do you sing at the church, the two of you?
Right now we do the worship and the preaching.
We're waiting
on the worship leader.
You're the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
I might look a little tired.
No. All right, so restore. Let's take that word restore. It's the title of this.
Yes.
It's part of your church. Okay, tell me about that.
Restore is something that I think Amanda and I, we both came from broken homes. She has a past of abuse. And we've seen where God has brought a lot of healing in our own personal lives. And that took a process. It didn't just happen overnight. There was a process. And I believe that we had to go through that so that we could do what we're doing today.
Yes. So some of the restoration process in your life, though, was the result, too, of seeing things, let's say in the lives or part of Christians.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And people you know are respected, and you saw things that you knew were not in harmony with the heart and will of God.
Sure.
And that made a,
absolutely,
like it made a hole in your heart. It would put a bruise on your psyche. Some people would say it was like a, let's say a tormenting spirit got a hold. Some people would say it was like a curse. It's kind of come on you. It's like a bruise.
Sure.
So when you're talking about being restored, you need to be restored from the brokenness and the pain of what you had observed and what you'd seen that had not only disappointed you, but it had a negative impact on you, right?
Exactly. And I know fear. When your foundation is broken, when what you know is your foundation, the thing you can run to is broken, then fear comes.
Yes.
Fear immobilizes you. And that's the enemy's ultimate goal, is to keep you from the purpose God has called you to do. But you can turn it around. You see, one thing that I have realized is that Nehemiah, the broke down wall. God can use broke down burnt stones.
Yes, he can.
And he can give them purpose again.
Well, and one of the things that we say at our church, we talk with a lot of couples and broken people in general. You know, you could come in this church and we could, you know, put paint on your walls, but if there's mold and cracks, it's all going to come back to the surface again. We have to, in the restoration process, you may have a great foundation and you might have moldy walls. You need to tear down some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can rebuild and paint and allow God to do his full work in your life. And that's what our ministry is about. And this album has been a restoration process. We had the foundation of 3 years of tracks and music, and it has been a 3-year process of putting it together for completion.
You know, you sang a song that really ministered to us, that Betty would play quite often when we went through the indescribable pain, the loss of our baby girl, our daughter. And it was, I believe,
Take Me to the Place.
What's the message that you hope communicates through that?
Oh, the message of Take Him to the Place is a full restoration message. My personal testimony, which you guys allowed me to share last time we were here, abuse from the age of 5 and on up, and hidden things in our life that consumed, and I didn't love myself, couldn't love anybody else. And I remember the day that the Lord took me to the scripture in John in the 11th chapter, where Lazarus is laid behind the tomb and Mary and Martha are just devastated. Where were you? Mm-hmm. And for the first time in scripture, I didn't feel condemned for questioning God. Where were you when this happened to me? How could you allow this to happen? I was just an innocent child. You are ministers of the gospel. God, where were you? Mm-hmm. Where were you? And the translation that I was reading that day, it said, take me to the place where you've laid him. And he went and stood before the tomb. And we know that Martha was very quick to say, Lord, don't you know it's going to stink?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, for a moment, our environment is disrupted. But he told her, if you will just believe, you will see the glory of God revealed in your life. And although I don't have all the answers,
God did not make those things happen. But what I know is because I have seen the greater glory of God, I know the restoration power of what the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit can do to such a broken life. And the message that I hope is that people will get up from the ashes and move on into the future that God has. It may not be like we thought it was going to be, but at the end, it will be better than we ever imagined.
Amen. We can take him to the place of pain, hurt, loss, suffering, devastation.
Yes.
Take me there, and he can turn that situation into a restoration, resurrection to new life. So you all have written a song. It's the title of this Restore.
Yes.
So just set it up. Tell me what led to the song. I know it's ministry, but
The song Restore, we wrote while we were still in San Antonio. You know, sometimes you go, God, what do we do? And we were 1,000 miles away from family. The Hagees were so good to us, and they still are. They're our family. Mm-hmm. But there was a season that when you're a million miles away and the enemy begins to isolate you, that we felt to struggle here. And I pulled away. While he tried to hold me close, I began to pull away and recluse. And that's what that song is about, is you know my doubts, you know my fears, and you know the story behind every tear. Mm-hmm. You held me close as I pushed you away. Why has it been so hard for me to say that I need your grace and I need your mercy? And it's that simple. God, I need you in this moment. And when you invite him in that moment, he will fulfill all of his promises to us.
Would you like to hear them sing that message, Restore? Would y'all do that for us?
I am your mercy.
I'll tell you what, now, Aaron, okay, I got to be honest with you. See, I can't sing. Now, when we get to heaven, you're going to have to listen to me. About a year or two, you're going to listen to me sing up there. But if I could sing like you,
yes.
I'd have had a hard time hearing the call to preach. don't y'all agree he's got a beautiful voice, and she has a beautiful voice? Just fabulous. Just fabulous.
Thank you.
And I want to see God restore every broken heart.
Yes.
And I want to see people set free. Father, I pray for everyone watching today.
Thank you, Lord.
Crushed by the past and now a prisoner to it. I want you to set them free from that past. Let them go back to the place of pain, loss, hurt, and just lay it at your feet.
Yes, Lord.
And say, lift it off of me. Lift the burden with your mercy, your grace.
Yes.
Heal my heart. I trust it to you. I submit to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm yielded clay.
Yes, Lord.
Shape me in your image. Forgive me, cleanse me, free me, restore me through your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name. Phone number there on the screen. It's an 800 number. It's paid for by love. You need someone to pray with you? Trust God to restore your broken heart? You need to share something and ask someone to agree with you? Don't hesitate. You know, we praise God for what He has done and is doing in your life, what He's doing there in the Restoring Hope Church and part of the country I love so much. Two crusades there, Gallatin, Hendersonville, also in the Vanderbilt Fieldhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Just great memories all over Tennessee. Just thank you for being a witness like you are. May God use you to restore many broken hearts, broken homes, broken marriages, relationships, and just continue to see miracles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Betty and I will just really rejoice in. And we're going to actually show our viewers this beautiful little Christmas ornament. This is a time when we talk about Christmas shoes and smiles. And we're going to give the beautiful little gifts to people who will actually help us put shoes on children. Do you mind if our viewers say, look, we'll help you, you know, give some smiles to children with surgery that have cleft palate, or we'll put these little shoes on little feet and older children that can protect them? Could we send them this CD to say thank you too? Y'all think that'd be a good idea?
Absolutely.
We want you to know, here's the thing. We want to bless you.
Yes.
I mean, they want to bless you as a couple. Would you put some smiles on some little faces where they couldn't smile? I mean, this is a miracle. It's a miracle of love. And then would you put some shoes on some precious little feet and some young children's, even some teenagers' feet where they're so susceptible to disease and infection from bacteria, and sometimes hookworms that can destroy even their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And it can kill them. So would you do that for Christmas? I want you to watch closely, because I think what you see is going to move you to become a miracle in someone's life. Watch. You know, Betty, all these people have wondered why we're here, how are you? And we have told them through translators that we're here because we love them and because we want to give them a better life. We came in the name of the Lord Jesus, but we didn't just come to talk about God's love. We came to share it and demonstrate it. You know, I'm kneeling here and Central America by a contaminated water source, and we love to get water wells. But we found out something else because of contaminated water, and even contaminations and problems in the soil, children get little cuts in their feet and they pick up hookworms. And as I understand it, that ultimately gets into their intestines and is a horrible sickness. But it's a disease that not only brings incredible pain and discomfort, but in so many instances, death.
I'm sitting here with Berta and her 8 children that she loves very, very much, and she would do anything to take care of them health-wise. And she's just one example of one family that needs our help, and we want to be able to put some shoes on the feet of these children, precious feet. Jesus loves these children all over the world, and so as this example, as she sits here with her children, just visualize, just picture families, children all over the world that need to have shoes on their little feet. So I hope you will join with us. This is a great opportunity to bless these families that just barely get by from day to day. Please join with us.
You know, I want to know if our television people can cut back to that mother with 8 children around her. You know, I've often said I can see a duck with her little ducklings. Beautiful Facebook post not long ago, millions of people watched it, where these firemen were getting these little baby ducks out of the drain, and the mama duck with one baby is waiting there until she got every one of them. They had to go across the street to another drain to get all of them. That mom wouldn't leave until she got them all around her. And it was the biggest bunch of smiles on those old firemen and police officers that helped that little duck. But what I saw was a mother duck that seemed to show more attention and concern and gratitude for her babies than a lot of parents seem to focus on theirs. That mother there with those 8 children around her, Betty, if we could have gotten every one of those little kids' faces up close, I'd have loved it. But what I saw, that mom, I said, you don't understand this. All those little 8 children, that's the greatest source of joy in her life.
That's right.
And you let one of those little sources of joy, they don't have entertainment, they don't have a television, they don't have electricity, but they have a life and they love their little family. And when you go and put little shoes like this on their feet and you bless that family, boy, you have blessed the Lord. Jesus said, you do it to them, you did it to me. You directly ministered to me, Jesus, when you did that. And Betty, if we can just bless that mom and so many mothers and little children by putting these shoes on their feet. We want 150,000 kids to have shoes for Christmas this year.
Absolutely. I hope you will join us, and let's put some shoes on the feet of these precious children. And we've been there, and we've handed them the shoes, just as you saw. And one thing I noticed when I was over there is when we would put the shoes on the feet of the children, you look back, and that mom's just smiling as big as she can. Because, like James says, she loves her children. She wants them to be healthy. She wants them to be able to run around and play without the danger of their feet getting infected and then going that infection going through their whole body, James. So join with us, if you will, and let's put some shoes on the feet of these children.
Well, we have actually been in some of those little places out there in the rural areas where we were giving shoes and trying to help them, where we actually saw the doctors fighting for the life of babies, little children that had gotten contamination because of what gets in their little system, oftentimes through their feet. So we're sending you the little Christmas ornament. These are beautiful little shoes that are just beautifully artistically designed. But this year, if you'll help us give 50 children shoes, 50 pairs of shoes, and make a gift, it takes $180. You can give a $36 gift and give 10 children shoes. But you make a $180, and I'm really praying you'll do it. We're going to send you all the shoes that we ever designed and made for the children. You put all of those little Christmas ornaments on your tree. And I want to promise you something. Everybody that comes and looks at your tree is going to ask you about those shoes. And you're going to talk about the greatest gift at all at Christmas is not only what Jesus gave when he gave us life, but when we share his love with others. And when you give children shoes, and then the cleft palate surgeries, the smiles, takes $500 for a surgery. We're asking you to pray about giving $1,000 for 2 surgeries for 2 little children. We're talking about shoes and smiles for Christmas. This is a gift that lasts them so long, and doing it lasts for eternity. Jesus said, when you do it to them, the little ones, the overlooked, you've done it to me. Let's give Jesus a great gift for Christmas by giving love to those he loves so deeply. Would you right now go to lifetoday.org, take your bank card, make the best gift you can. Please go there now. Take the time to do it. Or dial the number, use your bank card and make the gift. If you want to make a check, make it to Life. But call us and please, call us and tell us what you're sending, because 150,000 pairs of shoes, it's a lot. And then the smiles that we give with the surgeries, so important to so many precious children. Thank you right now, from the bottom of my heart, for what you're led to do. Please make that call or go online. Thanks for doing it.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer. Not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you can help immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 150,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. With your gift of any amount, be sure to request this beautifully crafted crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to place on your tree each holiday season. With your gift of $180 or more, you may also request this keepsake boxed set of Life's Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request our Determined Eagle bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Boy, you know, it just, you know, we've talked about restoration and what you're doing for these little kids.
Yes.
For some of them, you're restoring their world. You're giving them a future. And I want to just thank you. By the way, if you didn't already call and say, I'm going to give 10 kids shoes or 50 kids for Christmas, please do. Whatever you can do, help. And no gift too small because it's all big. And if you make a gift, you'd like to have this incredible CD by Aaron and Amanda, Restore. So many songs on here, so great. We'll minister to you. Well, you just ask for it. Just help us give some kids some smiles and some shoes. Would you say thanks to Amanda and Aaron for being a blessing to us? Thank y'all so much.
Thank
all of you. Thank you for being here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for helping us give some shoes and some smiles.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media sites or visit lifetoday.org, where life is always on.
I think a lot of time in suffering, we don't want an explanation from God as much as we want an experience with God.
Anne Voskamp, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.